measureless, how fathomless our God, Master of the universe is He. To make me new, He saw me through, redeeming I come far, then found a way to set me free. He saw a blood-stained, rugged cross with Jesus lifted high, a sacrifice that sin could not erase. Left alone to die, He knew it was nothing less than grace.
Oh, it was
grace that embraced me when I first knelt down to pray.
It was
grace that replaced my sin and washed the stain away. It is grace that will keep me till I look upon His face. Nothing more and nothing less than grace.
Folks, I appreciate it. Genesis 49, that shouldn't take you long to find. First book in the Bible, almost to the very end, 49th chapter. And we're going to look today at just one verse in a lengthy text, but one verse. How are you hearing this morning? Are you hearing okay in the back? Is it okay? Very good. Or is it clear? Was the song good and clear for you just then? No, I didn't think so. All right, we'll go back to work on that again. And it's a work in progress, as you can tell. We will see what we can do about that. Genesis 49, let's stand together in honor of God's Word, if you're able to do that. Genesis 49, I'm going to read for us today verse number 19. Verse 19, and this will be our text. So, the Bible says here, Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. The reason I read just one verse is because verse 18 is not about Gad, and verse 20 is not about Gad. Verse 18 is about Dan, and verse 20 is about Asher. But verse 19 is about Gad. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. That's the title of the message, at the last. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm thankful to be in church this morning. I pray that you'll please now come and settle in on this audience. Lord, I pray that our hearts are prepared for you to work in today. Father, I pray that your Spirit will have full control of our minds. Lord, I pray that we'd be able for a little while to put apart or aside the cares that await us. And Lord, anticipate your Spirit doing a work in our hearts. Spirit of God, I speak to you directly right now. Pray to you, a part of the Godhead. And I pray, dear Spirit, that you won't be hindered, that you won't be limited in the effort and the work that you want to put forth into this service this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll temper our hearts and help us to be ready to receive your word and encourage us with it. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you and be seated. What if a parent could look into the future for their children and correctly predict a summary of what life would be like for them? Now, you would call that an amazing ability. You know, parents have the, you know, they have the wherewithal to pick up on tendencies and strengths and weaknesses that their kids possess and so forth. That's not too difficult to do for a parent. But to accurately predict a summary of their child's future, well, that takes an intervention of God. And that's exactly what happened to these 12 sons of Jacob. Now, you remember how Jacob came to Egypt to live there during the severe famine that gripped his homeland. His sons had come to Egypt to buy corn, ended up in front of Joseph. Joseph recognized them, and then over time he revealed himself to them. And then that resulted in the boys bringing their dad, Jacob, and all of their families to live in Egypt. When you get to chapter 49, Jacob is old, and he is soon to die, and he knows it. And he calls his 12 boys together, and beginning with the oldest, Reuben, he addresses each one of them concerning their future. But it's not just them, personally, about whom Jacob speaks. It's them and their descendants. It's them and the people in their generations to come. Look at verse number 28. After he finishes speaking to Benjamin, verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. So he gave them an individual blessing, if you will, an individual prophecy, but it extended far beyond their own lifetimes. Now, Jacob was only able to do this as God spoke through him. This is one of the ways that God conveyed his word to man through the tongue of man upon whom the Holy Spirit had come. The Holy Spirit would come upon these preachers, these prophets, and give them the words to say. And it's wonderful how accurate the prophecies about these 12 tribes was. It is. It's another proof that this book is not what the critics say it is. This book is not the work of men. It is indeed, it is in truth, the very work of God. Now, Jacob had 12 sons by 4 women. Please don't ask me to explain all of that. But that's what happened, all right? Gad was boy number 7. He was the son of Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. And Leah named him. And this was her explanation in Genesis chapter 30 and verse number 11. Don't turn there. When Gad was born, she named him Gad and she said, a troop cometh. The name Gad means a troop or a band. So the descendants of Gad would be people who would band or troop together. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that carries an implication of being battle ready. Battle ready. A troop or a band. That's what Gad means. Now, the prophecy was not all positive for Gad and his descendants, because Jacob said they would be overcome by a troop. A troop shall overcome him. So a troop would be overcome by a troop. Eventually, the tribe of Gad settled on the east side of the Jordan River. You remember they came to the promised land, the land of Canaan, and the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh said, we're not going to live over there. We want to live here. And Joshua said, okay, no problem. That's okay with the Lord. But you're going to have to help us go in and settle the land for the other tribes. And they agreed to that. And so they went into the land of Canaan. All the men armed for war. They fought the battles. They helped all the other tribes get settled, the 9.5 tribes get settled. And then, when it was all done, they returned to their homes east of the Jordan River. Now, listen very carefully. Their land was eventually overcome and conquered by the Ammonites. And the truth of the matter is that part of that land is in possession of the Arab nations of Jordan and Syria today. Right now, Over there. Land that was originally given to the land, to the people of Israel. Originally given to the Israelites. It was all within the boundaries of the land that God promised to Abraham. And so part of that land that was settled by the tribe of Gad has been overcome by a troop, a band of people other than the Israelites. But people, the distinct promise was that Gad would overcome at the last. You say, well, God's promises don't come true because Arabs possess part of that land right now. We're not at the last. At the last, God comes out on top. At the last, Gad will overcome and all the land will be theirs and it will belong to them because God said it would. Gad will overcome. Now, my question for you and me this morning, that's the interpretation, a very slight interpretation of the passage. So here's my application for you and me today. Is not this a picture of my life and yours? Aren't the experiences of our lives similar to what the troop of Gad experienced? Ups and downs, victories and defeats, wins and losses, days of prosperity and days of adversity. Solomon said that God sets the one over against the other. Now people, when we got saved, we joined a troop. We joined a band. I miss our choir. I'll be glad when the day comes that our choir can assemble and sing again. The choir sings the song, "The Blood-Washed Band." The verse says, "We're a band of Christian soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If His precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sin, that makes you a member of the Blood-Washed Band." Are you a member of that Blood-Washed Band? I'm thankful I am. I'm thankful I'm a member. Have you joined the troop that has been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus? Have you had your sins removed from you as far as the east is from the west? I read this morning in one of the Old Testament prophets where the Bible says that God takes the sins of Israel someday and throws them in the deepest part of the ocean. I'm thankful for a God who puts all of that away. I am glad I am a member of that band. Are you a member of that troop? Are you a member of that band? In the chorus of that song, "Praise God, I'm a member of the Blood-Washed Band." I'm going to tell you what, think about that. Some of you could use a little dose of happiness this morning. Some of you are under it right now. You're under it, folks. Get out from under it. Amen. If you're a member of the Blood-Washed Band, you're in good shape this morning. You're in good shape. Praise God, I'm a member of the Blood-Washed Band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin. Then one day the Master came, amen, and made me a member of the Blood-Washed Band. Troop. Okay? Now, I trust you're a member of that troop. However, being a member of that troop or band does not exempt us from the battles of this life. And sometimes, like Gad, we will be overcome by other troops. Troops that are designed to wipe out the people of God. And here is the truth that every member of the Blood-Washed Band, so from over here to over here, if you're a member of the Blood-Washed Band, you've got to keep this in front of you. Our troop comes out on top at the last. And people, if there's ever a time to come out on top, it's at the last. I don't want to come out at on, I don't want to be at the top, in the middle, and at the bottom at the end. I want to be on the top at the last, over and over again. God proved His ability to help His people overcome at the last. Let me give you some observations on this matter, this subject of at the last this morning. Number one, and I know look, this is elementary, but it's okay to be elementary, all right? God is never overcome. God is never overcome. Question, have you ever watched a sporting event where your favorite team or your favorite player is the overwhelming choice to win the match, the game, and yet they or he or she has a bad game. You ever seen something like that? If you're Cubs fans, you've seen more than your share of those. Amen. You know that. You know, I think about once in a while a number one seed in the tennis tournament, you know, the French Open or the Wimbledon. You know, a number one seed will have their hands full with a very low seed. Very low seed. And, you know, I don't watch tennis, but I once in a while catch the scores or something if I'm looking through the scores of games and events. And I'll see a number one seed had to go through 5 sets. Now, the best of 5 wins. And here's this number 486 seed who took the number one seed to 5 sets. And if you look at that last set, I mean, it was just nip and tuck all the way. Here's this number one seed, and he had to do everything in the world to win and be on top at the last. Now, people, look, life is not like a sporting event where a good team has a bad game and yet at the last is able miraculously to pull out a victory over an inferior opponent. God never has a bad day. God never has a moment of weakness. There is never a time when God loses concentration. There is never a day when Satan gets the best of God or interrupts God's plan. There's never a day when God does not get accomplished what He designs to accomplish. God is never overcome by a troop or a band because there's no troop, there's no band big enough, strong enough, smart enough to overcome God. And that should be encouraging to our minds and hearts this morning. Now look, you know this, but let me remind you of it today. God is omniscient. Omniscient. Psalm 147, verse number 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. Listen, His understanding is infinite. Infinite. Mine is finite. Yours is finite. Some of ours is more finite than others. But God's is infinite. He is all nothing. All nothing. Wrong word came out there. He is all knowing. There is nothing that God needs to learn. No one can teach God. Some people are so impressed by people who possess great knowledge, whose IQ, whose intelligence is off the charts. I just want to remind you this morning, if you are a member of the troop that belongs to God, remember that you belong to the one who is above all others when it comes to knowledge. There is nothing that God does not know. Nothing that God does not know. Not only is God omniscient, God is omnipotent. He's omnipotent. Psalm 135, verse 6 says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places." He's powerful. All powerful. Whatever He pleases to do is what He does. No matter where. No one can overcome His power. Again, people are impressed by power. You know, we are impressed by people in certain positions of government or business and wowed by those who possess certain physical strength. But if you are a member of the band of brothers and sisters who belong to God, friend, you remember that you belong to the one who is above all others when it comes to power. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. Omnipresent, Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Fill it. How do you fill heaven and earth? How do you fill it? You can only do that if you're an omnipresent God. And that is our God. He is everywhere all the time. There is no corner, no cave, no crevice where man, beast, fowl, or fish can go to hide from the presence of God. Jonah attempted to flee from the presence of the Lord. What a futile thing to try to do. He tried to, where are you going to go to flee from the presence of the Lord? He couldn't go where God is not. Psalm 139, verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, the middle of the earth, thou art there. high, low, north, south, east, west, all points in between. God is there. If God was somewhere yesterday, He's there today, and He will be there tomorrow. If God is somewhere today, He was there yesterday, and He will be there tomorrow. And if God is going to be somewhere tomorrow, He was there yesterday, and He's already there today. I just remind you, church, if you're a member of the troop that belongs to God, if you're a part of that blood-washed band, you belong to the One who is everywhere all the time. God is never overcome by anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime. He is the ultimate overcomer. And I say praise God for that. God is never overcome. Number two, we will be overcome. We will be overcome. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and I'm not going to take the time to read the entire parable that Jesus told here, but I do want to point out one verse in it to you. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 21, okay? Luke chapter 11 and verse number 21. I'll find that myself. Here we go. Jesus is speaking here, and He says this. Now, this is His words. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Okay. That old boy down in St. Louis and his wife who came out of the house with weapons when they were threatened, his house was protected. Yeah, he was an armed man. Number 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and, what's the next word? Overcome him. He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So the strong man is armed, and he has his house protected. But then a stronger than the strong man, comes along and overcomes him, and all of the strong man's goods are stolen. So even though he is strong, there is one stronger than he. Now, people, I'm going to just remind you this morning, because we remain in these bodies of flesh after salvation, we are susceptible to being overcome. The power of the world, the power of the flesh, the power of the devil are all strong enough to overcome us. And sad to say, all three of those troops will get the best of us sometime or another. That's going to happen. The flesh overcame David. The devil overcame Peter. The world overcame Demas. All three of those were strong men, but sad to say, they were overcome by something or someone stronger. And you find it all through the Bible. Because the Bible is not just a book of success stories concerning mankind. The Bible gives us the accurate picture of what it's like for people to live in this sin-cursed world. Strong drink overcame Noah. Selfishness overcame Abraham and Hezekiah. Materialism overcame Lot. Deceitfulness overcame Jacob. Anger overcame Cain and Moses. Discouragement overcame Elijah. Self-will overcame Jonah. Bad counsel overcame Ammon. Pride overcame Gideon. Lust overcame Samson and Solomon. Foolishness overcame Rehoboam. Self-righteousness overcame Job. Greed overcame Achan and Balaam. Cowardice overcame Aaron. Disobedience overcame Saul. Fear overcame John Mark. Bitterness overcame Absalom. Sickness overcame Lazarus. And yet to come, the beast will overcome the tribulation saints. I'm saying this morning, how susceptible you and I are to someone, something stronger than us. In this life, we will be at times overcome. Look, we're made strong in Jesus. I get that. Sin has been conquered, does not have to reign in our mortal bodies. Yet in this life, there will be troops and bands stronger than us, and we'll be overcome once in a while. You know, back to the sports illustration, every team has a day when the other team they play is not as good. I mean, talent-wise, they're not as good. Organizationally, they're not as good. But on that particular day, that other team is stronger, quicker, and smarter than the one who is better. Do you remember when the New England Patriots went through the season and the playoffs 17-0? Or 16-0, whatever it was? And they got to the Super Bowl, and I think it was the Giants that beat them in the Super Bowl that year. They were probably a superior team. They won 17 games in a row. Is that what they won? 17 in a row. 18 in a row? 17, 18, you know, doesn't matter. More than the Bears have been doing lately, for sure. Okay? So, but on that particular day, the Giants were the better team, and New England got overcome. And I'm saying that to you and me today. Look, we too, we will at the last of a day, at the last of a week, at the last of a period of time, we'll sit back and realize, my goodness, I have been overcome. I have been overcome on that particular day. I have been overcome that particular week. I've been overcome by that month. Paul felt the guilt of being overcome by that which he did not want to do. And you know what he said about himself? Oh, wretched man that I am. He was saying that at point in time, at a couple of points in time, he was overcome. That's the Apostle Paul, this great missionary evangelist, soul winner, preacher. He was overcome. I am not taking a light approach to sin and wrong, our sin and wrong. I know sin is a choice. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know no one makes me sin. But that being said, I'm not going to go through this life without being overcome. Neither are you. Going to be overcome. And sad to say, more than once. It's going to happen. If it happened to all those wonderful people in the Bible, and I hope you're familiar enough with the Word of God to know the circumstances of all those names and how they were overcome. I think about discouragement, overcoming Elijah. I mean, the day after he calls down fire, he sees fire come out of the sky and lick up the sacrifice. And 24 hours later, he's asking God to kill him. He got overcome. And I'm just saying, look, that happened to Gad. Gad meant troop. Gad meant band. Gad was strong. His descendants were strong. Warrior-like people. In fact, if you check out the nation of Israel's history in the Old Testament, a lot of times when they went to war, they chose men from Naphtali and they chose men from Gad, because Gad was a warlike tribe, troop, band. But the prediction, the prophecy was that Gad would be overcome. And people, as strong as you and I might be in our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as we are in this body of flesh, we're gonna suffer the matter of being overcome by something. So God is never overcome. We will be overcome. And then last of all this morning, we will overcome at the last. At the last. John 6:39, this is what Jesus said. All of which he hath given me, I should, of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Do you know if you were saved, you were given by the Father to the Son, Jesus Christ? And do you realize what Jesus just said? He said, you know what, at the last day, I'm not losing anybody. If you were given to me, you'll be mine at the last day. Everyone who has come to Jesus will overcome at the last. Jesus will lose none of those who join his troop. Are you a member of the blood-washed band? Then guess what? At the last, you'll belong to him. That's what he's saying. This is what we must look to. This is what we must keep before us. This is what we must anchor our hope in at the last. At the last, we will overcome. We'll meet with defeat. We'll be overcome by someone stronger than us in this life. And yes, maybe even by those weaker than us. But at the last, we will overcome. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul said it this way, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At the last. At the last. At the last, we come out on top. At the last, we will overcome. We're given a glimpse, not a full glimpse, but a partial glimpse of what at the last will be like. Lazarus, I already mentioned him in that long list of names. Lazarus had been overcome by sickness. He had died. He had been in that tomb for 4 days. So much so that Martha said, Jesus, by now he stinketh. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And shortly after saying those words, Jesus stepped up to the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says with a loud voice, shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was dead came forth. It seemed like the last for Lazarus with his body laying in the tomb, but it wasn't. And it never will be the last for people who are members of the troop of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a member of that blood-washed band, not even death is going to overcome you. You're coming out at the last. At the last, Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout. A lot of shouting going on in the Bible. People like quiet worship services. A lot of shouting going on in the Bible. Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says he'll descend from heaven with a shout. All these references to Jesus. Loud voices. Shouting. With the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christian brother, Christian sister, lift up your heads. Look, I understand people being susceptible right now to the feeling of hopelessness. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to look beyond the hopelessness and lift our heads up and look to the sky, because our redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption. How nigh is it, preacher? I don't know. But it's nigher today than it was yesterday. And if he doesn't come today, it'll be nigher tomorrow than it was today. You call that a crutch? People look at religious folks who believe that Jesus is coming back, and they'll say they use that as a crutch. You call it what you want to. At the last, we're going to overcome. We're going to overcome. That's not said with pride. That's said with thankfulness. That's said with assurance. That's said with confidence. There will be none stronger than us to succumb to in battle. There will be no strong foe to overcome us at the last. There will be no more defeats. It may look a little hopeless now, Christian, but at the last, 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 at the end, we know who comes out on top. Yesterday, Brother Allen, at bus meeting on Saturdays, he has Brother Jeff lead us in a couple of songs. And it's usually, you know, it's bus songs. So we sing Deep and Wide and, you know, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And there is a book that came from God. It is the Holy Bible and The Littlest Worm. All those spiritual songs, amen, teach such great truths. And Jeff will lead us in a couple of songs. But he led us in one yesterday. He said he sang it on his bus. I never did sing it on my bus. And Jeff had no idea what I was going to preach about this morning. But he sang it yesterday. And yesterday in bus meeting, the assembly of folks that were there, it was like a choir. There was actually harmony. Did you notice that? It was more than just a joyful noise. which it is sometimes. Sometimes it's like, ay, ay, ay. Especially if it's a high song that early on a Saturday morning. But I mean, people were harmonizing as Jeff led us in that song. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And the Holy Spirit said, there's your conclusion. I already had the sermon. There's your conclusion. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Help me this morning. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more losses there. We're going to see the King. No more losses there. We're going to see the King. I could start swaying up here, couldn't y'all? No more losses there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see. Amen. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. You call that what you want. If that's a crutch, give me a million of them. But it's not a false crutch. It's not a false hope. It's a reality. We'll see our loved ones there because we're going to see the King. We'll see our loved ones there. Because we're going to see the King. We'll see our loved ones there. Because we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King at the last. At the last, church. At the last. At the last. Pastor, I don't know what to think. I don't know what I don't even know what to think. I don't either. Virus, protesters, I don't know. People's homes being invaded, I don't know what to think. I don't either. Except for at the last. I know how it's all going to turn out. And I'm going to see the King. Are you? Are you? Then maybe we should live like it now. Get out of the mully grubs, folks. Get out of the mully grubs. There's a smile on your heart. Find it. Find it. It's there. And you'll find it when you start thinking about the fact that at the last, we come out on top. Gad will be overcome by a troop. But he shall overcome at the last. Father, we love your word. It's wonderful. Thank you for the promises that we find in this book. Thank you for the truths that can help us as we live in this sin-sick world. And oh Lord, please, this is not a message today that justifies our being overcome. This is not a message that, Lord, I hope it won't be used to discourage us to not fight the battles and fight the fights. But Lord, we're going to be overcome. We're going to be overcome. Some of God's people are overcome right now. And I pray, God, that you'll help us as Gad to hear the words of our great God. He shall overcome at the last. I would ask, Lord, for anybody here this morning not sure that they're saved. At the last, it'll be a different story for them. So speak to that heart this morning is my prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, I had two pastors call me this week, young pastors. Pastors in their 30s. If I called their names, most of you probably would know both of them, and you would know them to be men of optimism and excitement. But I could sense, and even in not just how they said it, but what they said to me, They're just, right now it's a fight. It's a battle. But at the last, church, we know who overcomes. We know. We might be despised now, we won't be then. Let's keep our eyes on the last. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God slipped right into where I'm sitting, grabbed my heart, spoke to me, helped me, encouraged me. I need to get my eyes toward the skies and thinking about the last. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning, wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, now's the time to come and trust Christ as your Savior. Trust Christ as your Savior. Before it's too late, so at the last, you too will overcome. I don't know if anybody came today prepared for baptism, but if you did, now's the time to make that trip to the baptistry. You have come for that purpose. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we have the invitation song. At the last, we will win the victory. You obey the Lord this morning. If the Lord spoke to your heart through the course of the message, some hands were raised this morning. I'm glad to see that. And allow the Lord to work in your heart today. At the last. At the last. At the last. At the last. Whether it's discouragement like Elijah, foolishness like Rehoboam, anger like Moses, and on I could go, God's people get overcome in this life like they did. But at the last, we shall overcome. We shall overcome at the last. Certainty that at the last, yeah, we know what happens. And we're on the winning side. Father, we rejoice today in all that you've given us as the blood-washed band. And thank you for that glorious day and appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the great God and our Savior in the air. Lord, whether we go by way of the grave or by way of rapture, at the last, that last trump, we will overcome. And we're thankful for that promise, the victory that is in Jesus, as we sang about this morning. We're glad for it, rejoice in it, and praise your name. Our omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, who's never overcome. Thank you, in Christ's name. Amen.